clearing the whole road and its immediate surrounding from mines and unexploded ordnance is certainly a preconditioning for opening the coastal road. The opening depends now only on the will of the militias and the military forces deployed and blocking the road. This would be not only a very symbolic move for the whole progress achieved so far, but it would be also of practical use for the people living in this area along the coast from Misrata to Ajdabiya, as they use mainly the road for communication and for commuting. But for the leadership on both sides, it is not that easy. They can't just give an order, because especially the Islamist militias on both sides operate quite independent from the military leaderships. So there is no real centralized control. And for example, the Misrata militias have already demanded their outstanding payments before they would agree to open the road.
Would the UN enhance the ceasefire with UN observers backed by NATO or European Union observers?
Talks are currently about a civilian-only mission. It would not be a problem for the United Nations to recruit even a couple of hundred civilian observers. They are very professional in this. But the efficiency of such a mission depends not only on manpower and mobility, but also on sophisticated surveillance equipment. For example, radar equipment, electronic intelligence, satellite reconnaissance, and so on. NATO would be certainly in a position to provide this, using the means of its member states, especially the United States. But as Turkey is also a NATO member and one of the warring factions, it is unlikely that UN will ask NATO for support. As an alternative, the European Union could provide almost the same as NATO. I underline almost the same as NATO for this case. However, it is still far from sure that the Libyans would accept such a mission, as the efficiency of a civilian observer mission is not really in the interest of everyone, especially those who have still a military option in mind, like the former Operation Volcano and its Turkish supporters, are quite hesitant. There was no statement from this side at all for the time being. Such a mission would certainly severely limit their military options. While on the other side, Khalifa Haftar's Libyan National Army has no possibility to resume any offensive operations in the near future anyway. They are simply too weak for this.
The withdrawal of foreign fighters and mercenaries is delayed for about 3 months beyond the original deadline. Several calls for their pullout went unanswered. What's the way out?
It is necessary to be realistic about the prospects right now. The final decision about such a withdrawal of the Turks and of the Russians is not made in Libya. This is not in the hands of Libyan politicians or warlords or military persons, but ultimately in Ankara and in Moscow and in the Emirates. And the withdrawal of the Turks and the Russians is also tied to each other. It is unrealistic that one side will leave and the other stay. This was underlined by the head of the High Council of State, Khalid al-Mishri, who mentioned recently during a meeting with the French Foreign Minister Le Drian that the withdrawal of troops invited by the legitimate government, he was referring to the Turks, could only take place after the withdrawal of all the others. So international pressure is required, especially from the United States on Turkey and on the Emirates. A realistic sequence of events could be at first the establishment of a credible UN monitoring mission to be sure to be able to identify who is violating the ceasefire, and thereafter a step-by-step withdrawal of both Russians and Turks until they have withdrawn all their forces from Libya. A very positive gesture of goodwill would be now the withdrawal of the other mercenaries, the Syrians on the side in the west, paid by the Turks and the Qataris, and the Sudanese, paid probably by the Emirates, on the side of the LNA.